Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. I hope you all had a restful and safe Thanksgiving. As many of you know, here at Vox, we value diverse voices, and we intentionally make space in our homilies for different voices within our community, as well as outside of our community. And especially in this transitional season for our staff, we continue to be grateful for the support of many of our friends outside of Vox. And this morning, we're grateful for our very good friend and theologian, James Allison. I've personally appreciated his teaching from the first time he visited Vox a few years ago, when he offered a framework of Jesus as the forgiving victim and his work on ending the cycle of scapegoating when we continue that cycle. But this morning, he'll be opening up the scriptures with us on this very first Sunday of Advent. And he's in Spain, and even though he's pre-recorded, he did do it in the evening, which makes it seem like he's taking into account the time difference. So welcome, James.
Greetings to my sisters and brothers at Vox Venier in Austin. It's a delight to be talking to you once again on this, the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent couldn't come at a better time. You've all been living a huge period of upheaval, of huge shifts in feeling, as you've had a very, very bitterly fought election, and in the midst of all that, COVID. All possible sources of shifts in meaning, what it means to be who you are and where you are. All of that is the perfect background for Advent. In today's Gospel, which comes from St. Mark, Jesus gives us the very end of his apocalyptic speech, in which he's been preparing his disciples. He's taken apart Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and he's preparing them for what the world is going to be like now that he has come to fulfill the definitive sacrifice and bring the temple to an end. How it's going to be full of wars and rumors of wars, how all sorts of tribulations are going to happen, and that's going to be the new normal. He's talking about how to live in the new normal that starts to erupt when the old sacred collapses. And all of us are living in this new normal, which is a very dangerous and trying time, one in which the things that seem to be good aren't, and the things that seem to be bad aren't, and we have to work out each one very carefully where we stand. That's what's going to be key to today's gospel. The words with which he starts are in Greek are gregorete. This is the gospel for any of you who are called Greg or Gregory. Today is your great day, because today is the day when the word which gives you your name is used in the gospel. Stay awake, be vigilant, which is what Gregory means. Staying awake, being vigilant. And he starts by saying, for you do not know when the time will come. He's talking about the time of the coming of the Son of Man, the definitive promised arrival of the Son. Now notice that he uses the word come. You do not know when the Son of Man will come. But then immediately, in a way that can catch us out unless we're really paying attention, he says, it's like a man going on a journey. So we immediately say, so this is going to be a parable about waiting after the man has gone. Careful, it's much more subtle than that. It's like a man going on a journey. So the coming is like a going. First surprise. When he leaves home and puts his servants or slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. So he's saying to the doorkeeper, watch. We can suspect that the doorkeeper are these four disciples, Peter, James, Andrew, and John. They're being treated as doorkeepers, being told about watch and being told to prepare others to keep watch. Therefore, keep awake, he tells them. And he's telling this to them, to those four. For you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. Now, please notice what he's told them. He's told those four that his coming will happen in four exactly timed instances, which will happen within a few days. Because at the evening, he will hand himself over in the Last Supper. That's going to be one of the ways of his going. He's handing himself over. Then at midnight, while they're asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, and particularly Peter, James, and John, Andrew not mentioned in the Garden of Gethsemane scene, at midnight Judas comes, and the Son of Man will be handed over. It will be his going. But they'll be asleep. They'll have to be roused to notice it. Or at cockcrow, when Peter, famously, will have gone to the high priest's courtyard and will deny Jesus as he is handed over. So Peter engages in a handing over. Or at dawn, when the Sanhedrin hands Jesus over to the Roman authorities. So in every single moment, Jesus is referring to four acts of coming, which are in fact about to be enacted in their midst, which they will get wrong, and which look more like goings than comings. No wonder he says, what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is hugely important for us, because our very first examples of keeping awake are people who got it wrong. That's one of the wonderful things about the gospel. The gospel is told by penitent sinners, people who got it wrong. Jesus is setting his disciples up to be witnesses to their own failure and thus the ability to learn. That's one of the extraordinary acts of mercy of the preaching of the gospel. So, let's take a step back from this. We're being asked to concentrate on the coming, to prepare ourselves for the coming. But the coming looks remarkably like a going away. A specific sort of going away. The sort of going away that's being either giving yourself over, or being seized and taken away, or being betrayed, or being part of a political deal. Any one of those are how precarious people go out of existence. And yet, that is the sign of the coming of the Son. As we are able to perceive and see that sign, so we start to be able to recognize what is at hand and take part in the coming of the Son. This is the great, great challenge. How are we to learn to have our eyes trained on this coming? Well, that's going to be, if you like, the work of Advent. So we start with this gospel, and we're given a wonderful passage from Isaiah, which I hope you will have available to you as the first reading for this Sunday, because it gives some sense of the heart behind the coming. It's a plea to God. And notice something strange about it. It's not a plea because we are penitent, saying, we have been awful, now come and sort it out. Rather the reverse. It says that you have made us awful. Because you haven't paid any attention to us, because you've turned away, we have become awful. In other words, it blames God for their awfulness. Why, O Lord, do you make us stray from your ways? You were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. This is a wonderful, passionate people saying, you are so much in charge of things that if we're screwing up, you must be screwing up. So now come and enable us to be penitent. This is the remarkable thing, which we find it very difficult to understand, we moderns, because we tend to think that God is a kind of a headmaster, and he's saying to us, be penitent. Only if you're penitent will I come to you and be nice to you. In other words, you bow before me and then I may change my mind. That wasn't their attitude at all. Their attitude was, we can't be penitent unless you give us how. We know we need to be penitent. We know that we're really screwing up. We know that all the things we're doing are shameful and violent and awful. So even our, we've all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. That's a hygienic translation. Are like soiled underwear, would probably be a closer translation. That's what our goodness looks like. We need you to enable us to be penitent. Send us the possibility that will enable us to become penitent. In other words, God's gift is our penitence. That's what's being begged for. And that is who we're longing to see coming in Advent. The one who is going to make penitence possible. The one who is going to open up for us the forgiveness of sins as a fountain leading up to life. That's what we're longing for. That's what the prophet Isaiah is longing for. That the one who will come in to open this up and make this possible, for our hearts to be made supple, so that we can start to relate to each other properly and follow God's ways. That's the longing for Advent. And what we're going to see over the next few Sundays is the slow process by which the one who comes turns out to be not at all like what we expected. That's the gift of Advent, as it were. It's the gift of having all our preconceptions about who God is peeled away, and particularly all our preconceptions about vengeance. While we're all preparing ourselves, think of when God's going to come up, you know, it's going to be a really tough one. There's going to be an awful lot of wrath around the place, or wrath, as I believe you say in Texas. It's going to be a violent, vengeful thing. He's going to turn up. He's going to really destroy the evil ones and establish his mighty presence. And so many of us think like that. So many of us think like that in our lives. We think about that about God. We think about that in our politics. It's how our basic presuppositions of everything are. Might is right and will strike down the wicked. We've desperately somehow got to get on the side of the right, which is probably also the side of might, so as not to be smitten as if we were the wicked. But no, no. The slow road in. The one who comes in is going to be coming without a hint of vengeance, so as to make possible non-vengeful living. That's what making present the forgiveness of sins look like. It means coming in as the one who creates reconciliation, who makes it possible not to take vengeance, who is himself not a bearer of vengeance at all. And that is such a disturbing possibility to any of our systems of law, of order, of goodness, all of which are fake goodness based on people who are bad and not like us. The only way in is going to come terribly slowly, terribly gently, as we know, at the end, as a baby. But as a baby who is going to grow up into being one whose presence we can only glimpse in his handing himself away. It's going to be such a gentle presence that it's going to be very difficult to perceive. Only in his going will he come. And only as we are made awake and alive to that terrible precariousness of handing away. I just saw a very moving story about a 70-year-old nurse who came out of retirement in order to train COVID nurses. and of course caught COVID and died. She came. She joined in the coming, in her going away. What could be greater than this? What could be a greater testimony to how our Lord makes himself present? The coming is to be found in the going, in certain sorts of going. The precarious handing yourself over, giving yourself away for others. This is what we're being asked to train our eyes on. And training our eyes on it means, with the help of our Advent worship, growing ever clearer in our ability to see the one who in all weakness, in all precariousness, is giving himself away and thus allowing us to be brought into being. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.